Well, glory to God. That may not do anything for you, but it does something for me every time I hear it. All right, Luke chapter 11. And this is, I want to say a surprise, because we were going to be here anyway. I'm getting at the age where the idea of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and driving 5 hours just does not appeal to me. So I would if I had to. So I thought, well, we'll just come up, spend the night, and then go to the funeral and do our part and come on home. Well, we told, anyway, Brother Leithley text. We got talking through text, and he said, well, we got your room, and I want you to preach Wednesday night. And I said, okay, that's what I'll do then. And it came to pass, chapter 11, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, I want you to notice that with me. That's not my... It's not the landing spot, but in fact, let me just back up and say this. Have you ever read a verse of Scripture 30, 40 years ago? And it wasn't a big mystery to you, but you still read it and you thought, because the song we sang, I'm only a sinner. That's all I am. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And God shows up in our lives, and He pulls back the curtain of His glory, and we get a glimpse of Him. And we stop telling everybody, woe was you, and we start saying, woe was me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. One of those verses of Scripture is Ephesians 5:27, that He would present Himself a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle. Now, I believe that. I believe that positionally, we are a glorious church, having neither spot or wrinkle, but look it. I'm not saying, this is not one finger going out, it's three fingers coming back in. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw himself. That's why I said, woe is me. This is not a criticism of anybody except me. Let's just tune the rest of you out and say, this message is for me. I know the mess I'm in. By knowing the mess I'm in, I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. How in the world is God, under these present circumstances, going to present unto himself a glorious church, having neither spot or wrinkle? I'm thankful for the position I have in Christ Jesus, but how is he going to do that? A glorious church. If we've not been taught anything in the last year, we're far from glorious. We're far from spotless and we're far from wrinklelessness, if there is such a word. We're in a mess. What all of this is, I really believe this, what God has done in the last year, he's just winnowed the church and got it down to the crowd he wants to work with so he might present himself a glorious church. Now I know. Now I know. God's in the business this week, this night, this year. He's always been in the business. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then shall I hear from heaven, heal the land. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, I doubt seriously most of us have a certain place at all. This just me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. I know the Lord. But what I know is that God wants to spend some time alone with me and you. Because he knows the more time we spend with him, the more we'll see him, in turn we'll see ourselves. And we will humble ourselves. But the thing that we do the least is the thing that God wanted the most out of us. Ere you left your room today, the song says, did you think to pray? We Baptist preachers, we want to be known as great orators. Fall right out the window. I want to know that I've been in touch with God. I want to know, you know, let me just say this. You know, one of the, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when your children were teenagers, and, oh God, just keep them out of sin, just keep them out of sin. I stopped. I'm going to blow you out of your socks. I have stopped praying that my children will do right. I start praying, Lord, let them see you. Let them see you. Because the minute they see Him, they will see themselves. They will hear the voice of God. Whom shall I send and who will go forth? That little trembling hand will go up and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. What this country needs is for the curtain pulled back. Let us behold Him one more time. That He might present unto Himself a glorious church, having neither spot or wrinkle. Where do we get the spots washed out? Alone with God. Where do we get the wrinkles ironed out? Alone with God. And what's the best place we can do? Go to help anybody that's in need. Go get alone with God. And it came to pass as he was praying, a certain place. Most of us have places for our hobbies, but we have no place for God. We go get along with Him. It's just Him. Me. Beholding His glory. Seeing His hand of mercy. Hearing His voice of cheer. And just the time we need Him, He's always there. And what we've done in 2021 Christianity is we have substituted sweet hour of prayer for just a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right. He was alone in a certain place. You know why Judas was able to find Jesus Christ at midnight or 4 o'clock in the morning? Because Christ often resorted there. Judas, the traitor, said, I know where he's at. For I've seen him go there to pray. He was in a certain place. When he had ceased, one of his disciples. Now listen to me. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. They had watched and listened to Christ get up out of his bed of comfort and make his way through the dark to that certain place of prayer. Sometimes just a stone's thrown away. No sleeping, tired disciples many times would hear the rustle. Someone might direct their hand to a sword, thinking somebody was coming in to steal something or do harm. Then somebody say, it's okay. It's just Jesus. It's just the Lord. It's going off to pray. One time the curiosity got to be good, too good, much too much for them. I love this story. You say, is it in the Scriptures? Yeah, if I'm thinking about it, it's in the Scriptures. Amen, hallelujah. They got up. Sometimes the Bible says, late at night, early in the morning, while it was still dark, going to that place where he oft resorts. Let me just say this while I'm thinking about it. Most of the praying we do, now look at me, most of the praying we do is nothing more than filing our papers. Going down the road, throwing up a prayer. That's just filing the papers. That's all fine and well and good. Standing at the sink, looking out at the kitchen, looking out the backyard, washing dishes, throwing up a prayer. That's, look at me, that's nothing more than just filing papers. And I'm afraid that most of what we've been asked to do in the last year, when people in desperation Because we don't have a certain place where we off resort. It's just Him, me, or Him and you. Off resort. They hear that rustle. They get up. Curiosity killed the cat, and they got up. They wouldn't stood in the shadows. They could see a silhouette off in the distance of someone doing more than recite the poem. Of someone doing more than filing his papers. And let's get back to that right there. There's going to come a time when we don't have to, when we have to do more than file our papers. We need to present our case. We have to go to court. Enter His courts with praise. Come before His presence with singing. We need to stop filing papers and go plead our case. Go plead our case at that certain place. Jesus was, He's probably been filing papers all day. It's time to go plead the cause. I don't know how many were standing in the shadows as the pre-dawn began to break across the horizon. They could see a little clearer than they could a few moments before. The sun begins to break the eastern horizon. That lone silhouette that they had watched for probably 2 hours sat in jaw amazement. Get him off his face, get him off his knees, get back into the routine of life and out of the agony of prayer and come walking out of the shadows and into the light. They stood there and watched him. One of them, Brother Harry, walked up and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Watching that would make us all walk away saying, "I don't know how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Now listen to me. I like this. I love this. This is part of what makes it easier from time to time to go get alone with God in my certain place. He said, when you pray, he gave him the outline. George Mueller says, a fool, only a fool goes to pray without an outline. Amen? You don't have a whole lot of papers to file, do you? So he gives him the outline, but he starts it off by saying, when you pray, pray, our Father. Our Father. How do you talk to your dad? How do you talk to somebody close to you? And you go lay your head upon their lap, brokenheartedness, and cry. Say, oh, Daddy. Oh, Mama. I hate to say this because it's going to make me sound a little bit. I remember one time coming home from 2 weeks of revival meeting. Dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I said all my hellos and hugs and kisses and gave gifts away to my children and my sweet wife. And I said, I'm going to go see Mom. Walked across the yard, up on the porch. My mom had just finished praying. Her arthritis would not allow her on her knees, so she sat there in that chair with her Bible open on her lap, with her glasses at that time, and a hanky wiping her tears from her eyes. I guarantee you one of those tears accompanied my name. She saw me standing there. She said, come on in, son. I walked in there, laid my head upon my mama's lap, and I said, Mama, it's so hard. It's so hard. It's just a facade with most people. It's just some kind of robe and some kind of hypocrisy, and they don't really mean the things of God. That sweet mama of mine with her arthritic hand began to run it through my hair. Nothing more soothing. She said, honey, just do what you're supposed to do. You be what you're supposed to be. I got that plug of that charge of enthusiasm and excitement back. She kissed my forehead. I'm back in the fray. He said, when you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. I want to just about close it out with this. After going through the outline, he said in verse 5, and he said unto them, now listen to me, which of you shall have a friend? Please, he never ceases to be God. But when has he become your friend? When has he become the best friend you ever had? We sing with a measure of hypocrisy, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege. What a friend. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know how. We've just watched you for the last hour and a half. We don't know how. Which of you, he says, has a friend? Has a friend. I like the idea. Yes, he's God glorious. He's God. Hallowed be his name. His kingdom come, his will be done. Enter his courts with praise. Come before his presence with singing. Lift him up, magnify him. But once she got all that done, say, friend. Hey, friend. It's not George saying this. It's the scriptures. Which of you having a friend shall go? Which of you, as he said there, shall go unto him at midnight, saying to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend. There's 3 friends in this passage of Scripture. It's a friend. Going to a friend. Poor friend. That changes the dynamic of prayer, don't it? When it's just not a name. He's no longer the great God of the heavens and the universe. He's your friend. He's your friend. He's the one that condescended to men of low estate. He's the one that says, call me your friend. I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. You say, what do you mean by this? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present to him a glorious church having neither spot or wrinkle. God hasn't done anything. He at least has driven most of us to our knees in the last year. He's given us, look at me, a truckload to pray about. If you won't come to him, you'll see to it that you get a reason to. Remember, Jacob labored for 20 years in deceit and surplanting. Finally decides to go home. And he gets word his angry brother Esau, his 400 friends, has come to meet him. He was full of fear. I love this story. It meant something new to me this past year. The Bible said there in the book of Genesis that he had the camps, his the people that he divided into 2 separate groups. And that night, the Bible says, and he was alone. Fear before him and fear behind him. You remember the words of this insignificant Baptist preacher? You won't pray. I'll give you something to pray about. I do not say this flippantly, but it does want to sound like a joke. You know why God gave us teenagers? So we'd pray. Amen. Because he wants the time alone. But I need to hear from my friend. I need to hear from my friend. If you don't like this, put it up. If Christ is in your heart, I promise you, he knows what buttons to push to get your attention, get you into that certain place to pray. knows exactly what to do. And you'll stop filing your papers and go plead your cause at the courthouse of God's mercy. Come before His presence. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might have help and find mercy. You don't get mercy and help from someone who doesn't care. You get mercy and help from a friend. Quickly. You know why this guy came to his friend that night? This is all by way of introduction. He was desperate. I wonder how much more desperate we're going to have to get as American Christians to pray. To get along with God in a certain place and stop filing our papers and presenting our case. The man was desperate. For I have nothing to set before him. Right now we're in the church of Laodicea and we're rich and have need of nothing. But watch God take it all away. See, that's, you know, it's just a friend trying to get the attention of his friend. Going to spend some time alone. Desperate. Second of all, he was determined. What was it Jacob said after that man appeared? We believe him to be Christ. And he wrestled with him all night long. We believe the theophanies, the pre-incarnate visit of Christ with Jacob. He said, leave me alone, I've got to go. Daylight approaches. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. Bless me. We don't like this. We don't like this. The furthest Jesus ever traveled was 150 miles. Traveled all that way. Tell that woman with a sick daughter, no. And call her a dog. I love the puzzled looks on your faces. Partly because I know most of you don't have a certain place. You haven't the foggiest idea what I'm trying to say here. 150 miles, he was there for her. Sorry, he was there for her. She approaches the disciples first, and the Bible says she besought them. I mean, she was after her. Finally, the disciples come and said, send her away. She troubles us. You know what she's doing? She's not taking no for an answer. She's desperate enough not to quit the first time the no came. Can you imagine Christ traveling 150 miles just for you? And the best he can get out of you is say, okay, said no, bye. He stood there, friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He listens to the impassioned plea of a concerned, broken-hearted mother. Christ says, woman, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it before dogs. What did he call her? What did he call her? He just called her a dog. But when you want from him that which only he can give, he can call you a low-life, scum-sucking dog all he wants. You ain't letting go. Blesses you. And what did the woman do? Are we having fun yet? I didn't drive 5 hours just to kiss you on the forehead. He hears the words, Brother Lewis, wanted to hear from her. Yeah, Lord, let the dogs get the crumbs off the master's table. All of a sudden, a friend showed up. I said, that's what I wanted to hear all along. You go home, your faith is great. And from that hour, that woman's daughter was healed. Most of us give up too soon. Why? Because we're not desperate enough. For I have friends that have come and journeyed. I have nothing to say before. desperate. The Bible says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. You don't do most of that from the kitchen window. You do that in a certain place. If you're going down the road, and that spirit of desperation can come over you, you can still pray in a driving car. You got a gift that I don't have. I have to pull that thing over. Start pounding on that steering wheel saying, God, if you don't arise. God, if you don't do something. We are all sunk if it had not been for the mercy of the Lord. We'd all be likened unto Sodom. We'd all be likened unto Gomorrah. I'm trying to tell you, he was desperate, but he still went to his friend. Because he had a relationship. Which of you? You'll go to him. Say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for I have a friend that has come to me in journey, and I have nothing to set before him. You know why it should be easy for us to go talk to Jesus? Because we have a new relationship. That's how you. Friend doesn't care whether it's midnight. Friend has a need. His friend has the resources. That's the second reason why you go to him. Because he has the resources. The Bible says he will arise, give him as many as he needs. Even though he was told no. Friend. And aren't you glad he's a friend? Friend got up eventually. The picture is Christ. Aren't we willing to humble ourselves and say, yea, Lord, at least the dogs get the crumbs? No, we don't like that. You know why we don't like that? It takes work. And it takes a relationship. And it takes faith that God can take care of that need. That's why we don't pray like that. Last point of my outline. He went to him because of his relationship. Would you having a friend? He went to him because he knew his resources. For I have nothing, and I have friends. He went to him because of his reputation. The Bible says he rose. I knew I could get. I knew I could get him out of bed. I knew if anybody could help me, my friend could. And I knew if anybody would help me, my friend will. No, you don't go to anybody at midnight. You might walk away disappointed. But you go to that friend that has built up a reputation with you. Will help you exceedingly abundantly. Of all that we ask for faith, according to the power that works in us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Lee, sir.
Father, thank you for this message.